This is my lane. Couple weeks ago, a hospital shooting, driven by revenge over a broken relationship, galvanized a social movement among medical professionals known as This Is Our Lane. Depending on your news source, you might have a different take on it. So I'll be as even-handed as I possibly can and just state what I've heard. So this newest hashtag social movement seeks to address gun violence as a public health crisis. I think the thought is this: you wouldn't ignore a disease that's killing people, so perhaps we should explore the causes of the scourge of gun violence with people being killed. Just this past week, the Center for Disease Control recalled a ton of romaine lettuce because people were getting sick from it. The thought is perhaps we can take some of the dollars that are used to research why crises like this happen, and perhaps study the causes of gun violence. So this movement involves those that are working in medicine in various different ways, doctors and trauma surgeons who literally pull bullets out of people, nurses and medical workers who are sick and tired of seeing the aftermath of gun violence and believe it is a preventable, researchable issue. Now, these groups have been sharply criticized by the National Rifle Association, gun lobbyists, Second Amendment right groups for not staying in their lane, quote unquote. But they, those medical professionals, say, "We literally take bullets out of bodies and see the aftermath, blood, guts, and gore. So we are in our lane." Stay in your lane, the doctors were told. Well, in the aftermath of this Chicago Mercy Hospital shooting, where a doctor literally lost her life, "This is our lane," they say. "This is my lane." So this week we're hearing about John the Baptist, and it might be tempting in our world to tell him, "Hey, John, stay in your lane, because you're getting too political, man." But for all of our sakes, his word, preparing a way for Jesus, is a word of hope. One that knows no lane, one that treads the nexus between politics and religion in such a way that it should prepare us for Jesus, this paradoxical one, this King of Kings, but also God incarnate. John would tell us in Luke chapter 3, "I'm in my lane because Jesus is going to break down everything you thought you knew about kingdoms and priesthoods and nations and churches." We might be tempted to tell John to stick to what you know, stick to the spiritual, because big political and religious figures are so intermingled in the story that it seems like John is way out of his wheelhouse, way out of his lane. But I think John the Baptist would say, as he cries out in the wilderness, "This is my lane." And from this context of political and heavy religious hitters, John proclaims that the small, the unexpected, the trivial, a Jewish carpenter who would hang out with freaks and losers and care for the powerless and the poor, is an answer to the problems of the world. So I want to talk about this with you all this morning for a little bit. Our gospel lesson this morning begins with something we might think of as filler material, wasted ink. I don't know about you, but sometimes when our scripture has a bunch of proper names that are long, names we don't hear every day, my eyes just kind of gloss over it and I mentally shut down. I sort of filter it out as unimportant because there are sometimes these big lists of names in the Bibles, these genealogies. It feels like I'm not even hearing English. I don't know how to pronounce that. It might be Hebrew or Greek. And that's why I usually give the tough readings to the liturgists, but this morning, it ended up that I was the one that had to read it. And seriously, though, in our scripture today, we have a lot of names, and maybe you heard them, maybe you didn't really hear them when you listened the first time, because I think that's our natural inclination. So let's talk. Luke's gospel tells us that in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysias the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah in the wilderness. Whew. You know, I stumbled through those. That's a lot of ink. Well, why does Luke give so much credence to these names? Well, let me recontextualize this for you. I'll say it in a modern way that I think might help us understand and set us up for hearing what John the Baptist is about to do. Let's hear it again. In 2018, under the reign of the President of the United States and the Wisconsin Governor and the Mayor of Milwaukee, under the jurisdiction of the Alderman so-and-so, the local council person so-and-so, and the Archbishop blah-blah-blah and Bishop such-and-such. It was during the tenure of all these powerful guys that the Word of God came to John. John, the son of Pastor Zechariah over at the local church. And that is when he preached and received a word from God. And that's when he said, prepare for Jesus, y'all. Okay, maybe he doesn't quite say it like that. But here's the thing. We hear about all these powerful political and religious figures. And then we hear that John the Baptist, irrelevant, powerless, weird old John, is the one that is to prepare a way for Jesus. Not the emperor, not the governor, not some senators, but John the Baptist, the local pastor. What Luke is trying to accomplish, I think, by peppering his gospel with all sorts of proper names and titles, is to anchor this sucker down in a specific time and place with certain people that we know are powerful, people we can recognize, people whose policies and ways set the stage for John receiving the word of God. He's saying during the time of all these big shots and big wigs, the politicians and priests, the word of God came to John instead. And because of this, if you are looking for a separation of the spiritual and the state or the church and the spiritual, you ain't going to find it here. You might want to say, John, stay in your lane. But John is like, this is my lane. As Bible scholar and pastor Carl Jacobson says, quote, here the arrival of the Word of God is not just in the wilderness, but in the wilderness of the political world and the religious world. That is the landscape where Luke's gospel is staged, end quote. So, what gives? What's the point? What's the hope? Why do we hear about all these names on this Advent day when we're talking about hope? It's hope day. We lit the hope candle. I think by hearing about the word of God coming to John the Baptist during the reigns of Emperor Tiberius and Pilate and Herod, and we hear this top-down look at the world. We hear about the political hierarchies, from the most powerful to, well, probably the most dispensable. Luke doesn't just list power structures. He goes on to list spiritual and religious power structures as well. Not just Tiberius, Pilate, Herod are noted, but the high priests as well, Annas and Caiaphas. Now, the word of God comes to John in all of this, and the Messiah whose path John prepares comes in a very bottom-up way. God's word comes to somebody unexpected. God's hope for the world, Christ, comes in the form of somebody unexpected. The small, the unexpected, the trivial comes as the answer to the problems of the hierarchical and political structures in which it is pinned. John seems, as one who is about to proclaim the coming of a king and the Messiah, to not be in his lane, therefore. We would expect that it would be the governor or the emperor proclaiming this. We would expect it would be the high priests proclaiming this. Because the political and the religious figures are more powerful than him. But to them, John says, guys, this is my lane. The good news of Jesus, the hope for all humanity, is not in the leaders, the ones who by blood or name or popular or electoral vote make the cut. It is not in the doers, the big talkers, the tough guys, the deal makers or deal breakers. Nor is it in the priests, the pastors, the pomp and circumstance and ritual, the do-little big talkers of the church, says Luke's gospel. Because God has chosen John, insignificant little old John, weird John, this street preacher, and not some hero, not some incredible person to prepare the way for Jesus. And God in Christ would not be some military general or billionaire or powerful or significant in the way of the world person, beamed to earth in some perfect package of good looks or smarts or charisma or power. But no, God would come in a baby born to an unwed couple, to a teenage mom, to an unemployed carpenter who wandered aimlessly while she was going into labor until she gave birth to him in a trough next to all the stinky animals in a barn. That's the hope. The hope in our scripture is that God has chosen John, not the emperor, not the high priest, yet he names them by name to make a way for Jesus, the light of the world, who comes in a baby born in a barn. And also that John refuses to stay in his lane for all our sakes. And that is a word of hope for all of us this Advent season. Amen.